Hey, what's happening? What's going on in Sharkland? This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. Today's question I'd like to tackle is, who's done it? If you ask anybody on the street or any diver which are the most dangerous shark species, you can be guaranteed that you're going to hear bull shark, tiger shark, and white shark, and then possibly some more depending on how much a person's into sharks. But this trio, whites, bulls, and tigers, are they really the most often involved species when it comes to nibbles, bumps, and bites? Can it really be stated that the members of these three species are most often responsible for the majority of the yearly incidents? Go on any database that publishes raw data on the yearly incidents and tally the number of incidents as well as the names of all the species associated with them, and you will be surprised. Probably the first surprise, and most likely the biggest one, is that in most cases, no species is mentioned. How can that be? How can it be since we seem to know that bulls, tigers, and whites are the most involved species of them all? So how can it be that in most cases, we do not have a species? Well, in order to confirm a species, or at least narrow it down to a most likely species, you have to study the wounds, and in most cases that is just not enough, since teeth imprints can look very similar, and should the victim only have been bitten very, very superficially, then all that is there are puncture marks, which are even more problematic to identify. Of course, the wound size gives you some ideas, especially when very large. But when these marks are rather small, you have hardly a chance to identify the species that caused these bites. Okay, most of the time, you don't get the species of an incident. But how about when you get them? How correct is it? I mean, how correct is the mentioning of a shark species in any of these databases? Well, if there's a witness that is 100% sure because he or she has seen the species over and over, then okay. But very often, even an eyewitness only gets to see the shark for a fraction of a second if it's not one of the three species which can be easily differentiated from each other. But another Carcharhinus species, like the black dip, Carcharhinus limbatus, as we have them here in Florida, then forget it. And we should also not forget that quite often some species have been mentioned as the potential ones involved in cases X and Y in the past. So because of their past, then we sometimes just assume that the present incidents were caused by the same species. So blame the usual suspects. Overall, what seems to be clear on the who's done it list is by far not that clear-cut. So you may now wonder if members of the three species are still the most involved one or not, or if this whole ranking is biased. That's not easy to answer, but, well, I pondered that one for a long time, and in my world, I do not do an actual list of first, second, third, etc. ranking of number of bites per species, since that can't be confirmed or even substantiated. No, I normally mention that the bugger who just bit someone is part of a group of 12 species that make up the most likely suspects without weighing any species over another. Is this explanation more of an excuse? Well, you can see it this way, but I think it's the best approach to not really walk onto thin ice. Okay, we know three species. Who else should also be included? Well, there's the Mako, the Sand Tiger, and then there's the group of Wobbegong sharks as well as a group of gray sharks. The gray sharks, as I hinted at already, are part of the Carcharhinus group. And here I would name, again, the black tip shark, the spinner, the silky, the Caribbean reef shark, oceanic white tip, copper shark, and the dusky. You may not think I'm crazy mentioning the dusky shark. Well, to be honest, I have not come across a bite with them so far. But when looking at their body shape, at their appearance and compare teeth and jaw sizes and you're not really an expert, then you would think it is a bull shark. Yes, I believe that some duskies have been responsible for some incidents in the past that were then attributed to the bulls. One species that I just mentioned, the oceanic white tip, is one species that seems to be in incidents more often than not, especially in the open sea, but there is quite some controversy about the danger level of the species. Again, I don't really like the word danger when it comes to sharks, because per se, no shark is dangerous. It's the situations we humans create, knowingly, unknowingly, or by third parties. Well, so what's going on with the oceanic white tip? Is it involved more often than not or not? So what's true or it's not true? Well, the oceanic white tip has been blamed for many incidents in the open ocean because of their seemingly involvement in the USS Indianapolis disaster. We spoke about that, but it's, well, I guess it's already 2 years ago. Wow, time flies, huh? Back when, I talked about the incidents and I opened an ugly door, since I do not believe that so many sailors that were floating out there were lost due to shark bites. But that is something we may have discussed once more in the future. So is the oceanic white shark a species that is more or less involved on a yearly basis than assumed? Well, I'd say it's less. But we get once in a while confirmed incidents throughout the year, so it's really hard to tell. So what shall we take home from all this? Some members of a very small group of shark species have been involved in the past as well as today. But the low number of incidents throughout the year makes these involvements more of a curiosity than an actual problem. And by listening to my podcast, that is a message I constantly spread and I repeat, just, well, said it again before, sharks are not dangerous, but the situations we humans create. So there's actually not even a need to mention all these species, even more so since it's not the species as such that is involved, but specimen belonging to a species. Bottom line, for every species, the majority will never be involved in any incident with humans, despite that some specimens of this particular species were involved in incidents in previous years. And the not worthy of mentioning can even be more substantiated if we put these few bites in relation to their shark's abundance, species abundance, and the incident rate of other animals often involved in human bites. But the sharks, like no other animal, can create such a fear that even the smallest nibble of the smallest shark is worth mentioning and often put there as the headline of the day in many, many magazines and newspapers. It is sad to see that journalism needs such incidents, and as long as this form of news still has such a large audience, the unfortunate dozen won't be able to be left alone. And by the way, I left one species a species group out, and that is the hammerheads. But which hammerhead? That's actually still not even clear. So if you get one bite per year through a hammerhead, well, then you have confirmation that hammerheads should be there too. But again, it's really, really vague. Anyway, if you want to run with the unfortunate dozen and another poor bugger with the last name of Hammer, then do so, but make sure people understand that we refer to specimens that belong to one or the other species, but it's not the species you focus on, but the specimen, since the majority of the specimen of a species behave like the majority of all sharks do. They would never bite a person. That's it for today. Tune in again for another show of Let's Talk Shark. Have a great day, and if you meet a shark out there, have fun, enjoy the moment, and remember, it is a privilege to be among them.